So our next presentation is by Colleen Edit. And she is a candidate in the Faculty of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, and she works out of the Sustainable Futures Research Laboratory. Her area of focus include agricultural institutions, knowledge integration, and food security in the semi-arid regions of Kenya. She's working with the Carey-McGill joint research project and aims to understand how institutions can better govern knowledge and promote innovative agriculture decision making at the farm level and improve security within the context of food security within the context of semi-arid Kenya. So I invite Colleen to come and talk about her project.
First of all, thank you to the organizers of the conference for allowing me to speak. As was mentioned, my work is part of a larger project that I believe was also mentioned this morning by one of the representatives here from CARI, the Kenya Agricultural Research Institute. So this is a Carey-McGill joint research project that looks at how innovation in small-scale farmers in semi-arid Kenya can lead to resilient farming systems. And this project tries to take an interdisciplinary approach to food security, which is something that I think has come up again and again in the presentations we've heard. So my research is just one small part of this larger project. So to give you a bit of context information, semi-arid Kenya is a huge part of the country. It's 7.5 million hectares and over 20% of the population lives there, so that's over 8.6 million people. Their staple crop is maize, despite the fact that maize is not a particularly good drought crop, and this is certainly an area that suffers from erratic and low rainfall. Because of this, they tend to suffer from chronic and cyclical hunger. The area highlighted there is the area that I work in, Machakos County, which falls within this semi-arid area of Kenya. Climate change is increasing the frequency and erraticness of rain, which again is fueling the problem of hunger that is becoming more and more rampant. We're seeing chronic, complete crop failure because of the dependence on maize. And this hunger disproportionately affects women and children, specifically in female-headed households. And this is not for lack of trying. Certainly the farmers, and as we heard from the CARI representative this morning, have been very engaged in developing more suitable drought-tolerant technologies, like different seed varieties, planting techniques, harvesting techniques. And so some of these I have listed here are green grams, cowpeas, and beans. And in fact, when you speak to the farmers involved in the project, of 54 different farmer groups, only one actually ranked maize as their preferred crop to plant in terms of return on their investment. The other groups all chose one of these ones that I have listed here. And yet the reality when you go to the farms is that they're not planting them and people are still very highly dependent on maize. So the technologies exist, yet they're not adopted or they are adopted and then they're abandoned after a project finishes. And I was really happy to hear in the last session the connection between knowledge and innovation. So certainly there are many, many different reasons why people don't adopt these technologies, financial resources, lack of labor. But one of the biggest reasons that comes up again and again is simply lack of knowledge about the technology itself or the practice. And so my research is looking at how do social networks, so communication of knowledge between actors within a community, affect agricultural innovation. And by innovation here, using this term very broadly to mean any kind of adoption of a new technology, changing of farming practices. And so in order to look at this, I'm going to map farmers' agricultural knowledge networks, determine how these networks help us to explain the observed behavior, and then try to talk about some possible policy implications in terms of actually trying to implement projects on the ground. So just to give you a really quick introduction to what a social network analysis is, It consists of actors, which are the nodes, the dots you're seeing on the screen. In this case, the individual nodes are farmers. However, depending on your level of analysis, they could be countries, they could be private industry. And the connections between these actors, so the ties or relations. Again, in this example of my research, the ties are the sharing or communicating of agricultural knowledge. So to accomplish this, I did a case study. As I said, it was in Machakos County, which is in the semi-arid area. Specifically, I looked at Chua sublocation. The way that I picked this was by getting together a panel of experts and having them give me their perceptions and do a ranking of all of the different sublocations based on indicators of agricultural innovation, because the hard data just isn't there. So we relied on the perceptions of experts. That's how Chua was selected. They ranked lowest consistently in all of the indicators for agricultural innovation. So to do this, I did 46 interviews, 5 focus groups, and 73 household surveys, and then also just spent time in the community doing observations. And on to the results. So this is a kind of jumbled diagram that you get from going around and doing these household surveys where you're asking farmers about where they get their agricultural knowledge, who they value knowledge from. And so to go down and try to start breaking this out, on the side, all of those unconnected dots are people who either didn't report talking to anyone and no one reported talking to them either. So they're obviously very limited in their access within this community to agricultural knowledge. We're also seeing along the bottom many little subgroups that are kind of fragmented and disconnected from that main group in the middle. And within this main group, we can take different measures, such as in-degree centrality, betweenness, and closeness. So these are all different measures that can point out different nodes within or different farmers within this diagram that stand out as influential within the community. So for example, the local village headwoman had highest in-degree centrality, which is the most people named her as their source for agricultural information. She also had the highest betweenness, which means that if you're trying to get between any two given nodes, you have to go through her to make that connection, and she was the highest for that as well. And then closeness, which is a measure of how closely you are surrounded by all the other actors within the network. She was not the highest in that, but very high. So she would be represented by that sort of clustered central node right in the middle of the slide. So what does this mean in terms of effectively implementing a project on the ground? So to take the example of this headwoman, this kind of structure where you have one really key person that is connected to all of these other people is actually really an effective way to get information out there if you can identify and locate this person. However, missing this person would obviously have some really negative implications for your project. Also, it gives a really high potential of project collapse if this person becomes disengaged, other responsibilities come up, and particularly in this community, this is a woman, so many, many other household responsibilities can come up that cause her to have to pull out of the project, taking care of children, and now really the whole project has collapsed because no one else is there to fill that role. So this diagram at the bottom is just a very simplified version of what we were looking at before, where this headwoman would be this node in the middle, and the farmers around the outside are all connected through her. Take her out, and these farmers have no connections to each other because, as we saw on this original slide, the density is very low. And so density is just a measure of the total possibility of connections within a network compared to the actual number of connections that we see. And as we can see, this network has a really, really low density. So in terms of implementing a project and policies, identifying appropriate leaders, becomes really key, and this is a really great way to identify those leaders, but then also capacity building the next generation of leaders. So, for example, if this headwoman is selected, it now becomes increasingly important for her to identify someone else who can learn her social networks and benefit from those ties, so that if she, for whatever reason, has to disengage from the project, there's someone there to fill that structural hole, as it's called in this jargon. And also, just in general, fostering agricultural ties, because as we increase the overall network density, we see it in the literature that in this particular type of community, we increase the level of adoption. So I think I'm running out of time, so I will wrap up there. And I would just like to acknowledge that my field work in Kenya was made possible by a grant from the IDRC, who also funds the larger Kari McGill project, so thanks to them, and also the members of my lab and all the participants who participated in this study.
Thank you, Colleen.